And then you go to the countryside, around the cow, where we live, harvest is winding down. And you can look out in the fields and you can see these giant round bales of hay. Not as growing up, they're wooden, round bales, and they're all rectangular. Now, those farmers use another procedure to make these big round bales. Some of these bales can weigh up to 2,000 pounds. They're very heavy, very big. I saw something the other day that struck me, that also relates to the passage of Scripture which we are meditating on today. Give me a signal. Is that better?
No. No better. Maybe it'll warm up here in a minute. Okay, so we have these big round bales of hay in the fields, and I saw something the other day that struck me. There was this little old man, he looked even older than me. This little old man, and he was out with his tractor, and he was picking up these bales and moving them around. And I thought, how incredible is that? This frail little old man, but he had this big tractor, had a cab and everything, and air conditioning, and it was a massive machine, just picked up the bale as if it were nothing and moved it to where he needed it to be. And I thought, what if someone would have asked him, hey, why don't you pick up that bale? Forget the tractor. You pick up the bale and move it. I suppose the look on his face would have probably been similar to the look on the face of the disciples when Jesus said, you feed them. Looking out at this massive group of people, 5,000 men, not including women and children, could have been close to 10,000 people, and they were all seated out there, and they were all hungry, and the disciples were told by Jesus, you feed them. Oh. I imagine they would just given him a look, much like that farmer, if I'd have asked him, you move that bale of hay, because it's impossible. It's not possible. But Jesus said, give me what you have. They said, well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what we have here. He said, well, give it to me. And he lifted up and he blessed it and he began to distribute it. And the disciples began to distribute it. And it just kept growing and just kept multiplying until everyone of that nearly 10,000 number were fed. They were fed and they had stuff left over. They had leftovers for tomorrow. What an incredible miracle that was. It wasn't just the Lord, it was also them. It was also their participation in that process. This is the thing that I think the Lord wants us to think about today. To think about the reality of our participation with him in the things that he asks us to do. Sometimes he asks us to do things that are just impossible. They're just not something that we can conceive of as being possible. We're supposed to go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that he commanded. And he will be with us always. That's a mission that he has given us. That we're to go forth and we're to be world changers. That's what happened to the disciples. The disciples weren't exactly the cream of the crop, let's face it. They were none of them at the top of their class in school. They were fishermen, for the most part. They were not seen to be very erudite. They were not seen to be very educated people. But Jesus told them, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait because something is going to happen to you. And so they did. They went to Jerusalem and Jesus told them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. Again, he probably got that look. We're fishermen. We're rough. Our hands are rough from handling the nets. You expect us to go and tell all the world about you? It's a little like Moses when God approached Moses and he said, Moses, you're going to deliver my people from the Pharaoh of Egypt. Moses said, I think you're mistaken. I think you got the wrong person here, God. You must mean my brother Aaron. He's a talker. He can get it done. If he can sell anything to anybody, Aaron, that's who you want. God says, no, I want you to go. And again, God probably got that look. What are you doing, Lord? Me? But Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And we know that that power came on the day of Pentecost. It came like a mighty rushing wind. Flames of fire appeared above the disciples' heads. And they were transformed. All of a sudden, this motley crew of fishermen, all of a sudden they became world changers. It was an incredible transformation. Their enemies, the Pharisees and the scribes, looked at them and they said, who are these people? Aren't these the fishermen? How can they be going out and doing the things that they do? Some of them are healing people. Some of them are raising dead people. And they're preaching. And they're teaching. And the hundreds and thousands are coming to faith in this Jesus because of them. Can't be. Can't be. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And they did. And it transformed them. And they began to do mighty things. They began to do the things that Jesus said. Greater things than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. And they began to do them. The glorious fact is that that same Holy Spirit is in us as believers in Christ. We look upon our society. We see the things that are going on. I heard that there have been more mass shootings in our country than there have been days of the year so far this year, and they just keep coming. Even in Wichita, in the past week to 10 days, we see blood, we see destruction, we see terrible things happening all around us in our midst. And the people are throwing up their hands and they're saying, what can we do? How can we stop this? There's got to be a way. There's got to be some teaching that we can teach. There's got to be some law that we can pass. There's got to be some person that can get through to everyone. There's only one person that can bring healing, that can bring health and wellness and salvation to this society, to our world. And that person is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. People scoff at that, and people say, ah, that's not the answer, but He is the answer. And you know how they will know that He is the answer? Because they will see us. We are the lamp. We are the lamp that is set on the bushel so that the world can see the transformation that has taken place in our lives and continually taking place in our lives because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. As God transforms us, we become like those disciples. It wasn't because they were so talented. It wasn't because they were so knowledgeable. It was because they were transformed. Our world is hungering to see the transformation in our lives, that they can say there is hope. There is hope even for our fractured society, because Jesus Christ lives. He lives in us. He illumines the world through us. He calls men and women to repentance that they might drink of the water of the Holy Spirit, the water with which they can drink and they will never thirst again. We have the answer to that which is plaguing our society. And Jesus has told us, go. Go to them. Be a light to them. Embrace them. Pray for them. Give yourself to them. Whether it be your neighbors, whether it be the members of your family, whether it be people that you just meet on the street, people that are standing on the corner with a sign, whoever it is, we can be a light to those who are in darkness. This world, my brothers and sisters, needs to see Christ. That is the answer to these horrible things that are taking place in our world. He is the answer, the only one, the only answer. So let us modify our behavior and ask, as Saint Seraphim of Sarov does, to partake more deeply of the Holy Spirit, to acquire more of the fruits of the Spirit. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. These are evidences of the Holy Spirit. May we acquire them. May we pray as we do every morning. O Heavenly King, Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art in all places and fillest all things, treasury of good things and giver of life, come and dwell in us. Come and dwell in me, that we might be transformed, and that the world through that would also be transformed. May it be so, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray to the Lord, you catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens, that the Lord would have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That He will teach them the gospel of truth.
Lord, have mercy.
That He will reveal to them the gospel of righteousness.
Lord, have mercy.
That He will unite them to His holy, Catholic, and apostolic church.
Lord, have mercy.